Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Committee Leader for KC Jazz Alive, Steve Hargrave, on the 9th Annual Spotlight Charlie Parker 2022 festivities. This annual 5-day celebration of the iconic jazz legend brings Kansas City under a very special microscope with visiting musicians, tours, talks, live gigs, and so much more. We cover the gamut of action going down in this final week of August 2022, celebrating a titan of a musician, a town, and forward progress in not only the jazz idiom, but in all of music. Dig this overview and interview.
All right, Steve, hey, thanks for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz today.
You bet. Glad to do it.
Every year it's an annual pleasure and honor to talk about the great and mighty Charlie Parker. And before we get into it, the 2022 celebration, tell me a little bit about who you are, kind of your title and your capacity as kind of a spokesperson for talking about the Charlie Parker festivities.
My name's Steve Hargrave. I am the chair of the planning committee for the Spotlight Charlie Parker events taking place this week. I am a co-founder, along with three others, of KC Jazz Alive, which is our not-for-profit support group that is designed to help strengthen the Kansas City jazz community and build audiences for jazz in Kansas City.
So it has to be an automatic thrill every year to have what I would arguably call one of the most famous musicians ever in Charlie Parker, the epicenter and pulse of this celebration of his birthday kind of centers around Kansas City and brings to life that idea and the truism that we are one of the cradles of jazz in the world. So talk to me just overall with kind of the slowing down of COVID, things opening up, feeling a little bit more like pre-2020, like we're going to have a year that is going to be full on celebration. How relieving and how much fun is this year as you plan this out going to be?
Well, just as an example, we have an event tomorrow night, a panel of Charlie Parker experts that'll be discussing Charlie Parker's relationship to Kansas City. And at this point, we have 80 people that have gotten tickets to this event. It's a free event, but we like to people to get tickets so we can have a better idea as to how many we might expect. Well, we've got 80 people so far that have committed for tickets. We didn't have half that many show up in 2020 because of the obvious risk that we were all trying to manage. So we definitely feel like things have opened up this year. They started opening up last year, but much more so this year. So we're certainly hopeful that will continue to build. And of course, in years ahead, hopefully build back up towards maybe what we experienced in 2018, 2019.
I always ask this, but I think there's always a myriad of opinions and ideas that go into this, but why is it paramount that the heralded jazz son of Kansas City gets celebrated every year? Why is it important that we remember this birthday and roll out the red carpet the way we do?
Well, there are several reasons for that. And one that I think is kind of important is I believe jazz fans or music fans in Paris know more about Charlie Parker than music fans in Kansas City do. It's kind of like when you go to New York, nobody in New York has ever been to the Statue of Liberty, but all the tourists have. Well, it's kind of like that in Kansas City, that people coming into town go to 18th and Vine and go to jazz clubs, but people in Kansas City, not so much. So what we're trying to do is to help people understand why Charlie Parker is not just important for the history of jazz, but why he's important for the jazz that's being performed right now. Because what he did was end up creating a type of music that became the mainstream for the evolution of jazz from the 1950s through the 2000s, through the 2020s. And I think if people had a better understanding of that and what that actually means for the music, they couldn't help but be proud of the fact that the jazz innovator, second only to Louis Armstrong, who is a Kansas City native, who performed here, who came back here, who's buried here, I think if they had that appreciation, there would be more understanding and more participation in jazz events and listening to the music in live jazz venues around town.
Well, the one thing that is very evident is that the music community, the jazz community, understands that. I mean, the most referenced person that I ever hear, if anybody wants to go back in time and see a musician or who they want to credit for the evolution of this craft, it's been Charlie Parker. So he is getting his due when it comes to those that are emulating and building on this idiom that he did so much for.
When Diana Krall performed in Kansas City, I think it was maybe 6 months ago, probably 6 to 12 months ago, she mentioned during her performance that she was so thrilled to be in Kansas City, the home of Charlie Parker. When Charlie Watts was in town, when he was performing here with the Rolling Stones, he made a specific effort to visit the American Jazz Museum because he wanted to see how Kansas City celebrated Charlie Parker, because he was a big jazz fan. You know, the Beatles performed Going to Kansas City, which is really all about the jazz era in Kansas City. So there are a lot of things I think that we can be proud of if we understand who these people are and how to find out more information about them.
One of the great things about this week-long celebration is that we bring in esteemed musicians for a residency. Talk to me a little bit about who's going to be the musician in residence and kind of how that's getting built into the overall celebration this week.
Sure. We have two artists in residence, Morgan Faw and Houston Smith. And these two guys are Kansas City natives. They went to high school here. In fact, I met them while they were still in high school, heard them play while they were still in high school. And man, oh man, they were terrific then. But now they've finished their jazz studies at Berklee School of Music in Boston. They're back in Kansas City. They got back in town yesterday. They're going to be performing at the Blue Room at 7 o'clock tonight. Morgan is, this is a release party for his very first professional musician performed and produced CD. And they're going to be playing with Bobby Watson tonight at the Blue Room. And you can go down there and listen to these guys at no cost. Well, they're also going to be performing Thursday night with Brahm Winans at a meet and greet that we're putting together at Casey Beer Co. down on 79th Street, just east of Warnell Road. They're going to be performing again at the Blue Room Friday, playing Charlie Parker tunes. And then on Saturday, they're going to be participating with Chris Burnett in the student musician boot camp that takes place at the Paseo Academy. And they're also going to be performing 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon at a special memorial performance at the Charlie Parker Memorial on the north side of the American Jazz Museum. So these guys have a very significant, and I guess you'd say profound, respect and appreciation for Charlie Parker, because they understand that his music has as much application today as it did back in the 1930s and 40s, when he was coming of age and really kind of cracking the code on what he started innovating when it comes to jazz improvisation. So it's both their talent as well as their appreciation for Charlie Parker and how that comes through in their playing that really makes them an exciting a pair of musicians to hear perform.
So those are the main tent poles for this, you know, kind of structure that we're building this week, mm-hmm. you're building this week. So I'm curious, kind of fill in a little bit. I know that they start at the Grave on Saturday and it ends up down on 18 of Vine. So kind of fill in with some other events and things that are going on so everybody out there can have a good itinerary of something
yeah.
that they can participate in.
Well, the most important point I could make is to Get that complete calendar and all the details if you go to spotlightcharlieparker.org. That's the website we have created for this series of events. We've got a total of 24 different events, and there's no way I can obviously get into all of them right now, but if you go to spotlightcharlieparker.org, you can learn about all of them. Many of them are individual venue performances by musicians that were booked by these venue owners around town. So you've got several options to choose from for every night of the week. You've got this event at the Library Auditorium tomorrow with the Charlie Parker panel. Tomorrow night you've also got at this library event Jason Rowe, who's a Kansas City Public Library specialist who has created a website, Charlie Parker's Kansas City, or charlieparkerskc.org, which is a fascinating website giving you more insight into Charlie Parker's time in Kansas City. Then on Saturday, there's the Student Musician Boot Camp, which is kind of a sellout for student musicians. You've got a history tour. Which is every year gets rave reviews at 10 o'clock, beginning at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, that's going to be hosted by Chuck Haddix and Jerry Sanders. And then Saturday night, we've got a concert at 7 o'clock at Tomstown Distilling, which is going to feature our two, artists in residence, but it's featuring Bobby Watson and the Dan Thomas Band. Dan was associate director while Bobby was director of the jazz studies program at UMKC Conservatory. So that's the kind of the grand finale, that concert at Tomstown, which is nearly sold out. You might be able to grab a ticket or two at this time, but it's pretty much sold out. But the history tour is what I would really encourage folks to consider going on, because every year I learn something, and every year we hear rave reviews from the folks who decided to join it and really got a lot out of it.
What do you think Charlie Parker, if he did for some reason come back and saw all of this celebration and all of this vitriol for his life, what do you think he would say? What do you think his thought would be?
I think he would shake his head and
yeah. I do too.
My, you guys are making way too big a deal here.
Exactly.
But we'd say, No. Look what's happened to the music since you were on the scene. Look where things have gone. I mean, Louis Armstrong, frankly, at times was kind of disgusted with Charlie Parker because he didn't like what the music was doing. It was going from danceable music to music that people sat down and listened to. That's the big difference between jazz today and jazz in the 30s. You could dance to it in the 30s. Now you listen to it. And now the biggest fans of jazz are other musicians because they understand the complexity. They understand the language of jazz. It's not so much based on the melody of the music as the chords of the music. That's oversimplifying. I'm sure other musicians would roll their eyes when they hear me say that. But that's the simplest and I think most layman accessible way I can explain it. But yeah, he would probably think we're making way too big a deal
music. I would think so. You know, and in many of the interviews that I've had with people that have had firsthand accounts with Charlie Parker, the best thing that I ever heard was from the old vibraphonist Terry Gibbs. And I remember he said, it's like a spaceship came from outer space and dropped him down onto this planet because he's not from here. Like, I will never, ever forget that. Like, he just was, just like most people, you're so mystified at what you hear that he puts out there. It just doesn't even seem like it's a real thing that was created here on Earth.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. Because I've read in numerous places that when musicians would hear him play, they would look at each other and say, what is he doing? He's doing something I've never heard before.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, The beauty, Sue, is that we have a very resident genius on Charlie Parker and Chuck Haddock, and I'm always amazed at just a little vignette story that he can put out here. So the Charlie Parker punch is alive and well here in town with you and with everybody else that's planning and celebrating and keeping this tradition alive. So, Steve, thanks for taking a minute out today. I look forward to getting involved in what's happening, and I hope that not only Kansas City and the people around the globe are ready to rock this year.
Yeah, me too.
Steve, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest celebrations and gigs in New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. For a full calendar of events, go to spotlightcharlieparker.org. And if you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.